The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Tom Phillips, Managing Director of Tom Phillips and Associates and an Adjunct Associate Professor of Architecture and Planning in UCD. And Eoin O'Brien is here as well, the Sinn Féin Housing Spokesperson and TD for Dublin Midwest. Gentlemen, you're both very welcome. So I think people trying to digest this news today, that the government are possibly, amongst other things, looking at a version of tax breaks for developers, is how it's been described. Now, Pascal Donoghue has been out since to say, listen, we're not going back to kind of Section 23 and all of that. Those reliefs are too expensive, not targeted. They contributed to the crash. Nevertheless, they are looking at something. What that thing is, we don't know. Tom, what's the kind of argument in favour of some sort of tax break or financial incentive for a developer, be they big or small?
Okay, there's several. I would say the first one is viability, the whole issue of viability, making development happen. We have a housing crisis, and one of the things you have to do in a crisis is to look and see, is there an alternative way of making things happen? And the issue of viability is one that's dogged the planning system and the development system for a number of years, because a lot of schemes are not viable. And if you think about it, what's happened over the last few years is that the developers, the social and affordable housing is the requirement of a developer. In recent years, there's a requirement for putting in art uses, a percentage of the scheme for arts and cultural uses. You've got other things that are just making apartments more expensive. We have the Ukraine crisis. We have all these different scenarios that are making development more expensive. We've got VAT rates that are higher than they are in Northern Ireland. We've got all these costs. I think the Chartered Surveyors looked and said that about 47% of the costs of housing is some form of taxation or some kind of cost. So it's a way of, nobody I think is really looking for a return to the kind of unfettered tax breaks, but looking at targeted tax breaks could work. And we already have tax breaks of different types. When you think about it, is that the hotel sector is looking, cafe sector is looking for a reduction in VAT rates. So there are existing tax breaks of a sort in the system to make things work. So I think for a targeted period and a targeted form of housing, it's something that's very much worth looking at. So I wouldn't discount it and say, well, it's a return to the old
for
days.
A targeted period, only for a limited amount of time.
Well, they could look at it and say a targeted period, and for a particular form of housing, whether it be social housing, affordable housing, or other forms of housing. So we need to remove impediments. And if the cost of construction is one of them, then that has to be looked at. I mean, think of the amount of planning commissions that's often thrown back, that there's a lot of unbuilt planning commissions. But a lot of those unbuilt planning commissions are there because it's not viable to build it. It's not because someone couldn't be bothered. It's just that they can't make a stack up.
Is it Milton Friedman, the great line that there's nothing so permanent as a temporary government intervention?
But
we'll come back to that. Eoin O'Brien, have you concerns about the government looking at tax breaks or some sort of financial incentive for developers?
Yeah, so first of all, they won't work in terms of tackling Tom's correctly outlined position in terms of viability. Like, I talked to lots of people who either have planning permissions for apartment developments, who want to build them, can't build them, or would like to be doing more. And the difficulty is, if you introduce, for example, the standard types of tax reliefs for those people who are already happy out building their apartments will benefit from it. But those people who are even struggling to get on site won't, because, of course, a tax relief you get at the end of the development process, not at the start. So I think government actually needs to spend more time listening to the people who build apartment developments who can't get to build. And when I talked to them, they're saying they need a couple of things. First of all, they do need their planning permissions to be made in a more timely manner. And that's something the government can relatively quickly sort out by additional resourcing, putting planning on the critical skills list and doing a number of other actions that professional planners have been calling for years. But the big problem with a lot of inner urban brownfield apartment developments is...
I'm sorry to cut across you, but that is what we're predominantly speaking about here, isn't it? I mean, the shortfall last year was because of a drop-off in apartment construction. Yeah. By and large, that's the area of the economy that needs most intervention.
Significantly, the biggest area where targets were missed last year is the government's delivery of social and affordable housing, and again, apartments. But the big challenge for apartment building, particularly in our inner urban areas, is they're brownfield sites, they're very complex, there's lots of additional costs, even before you get on site.
Yeah.
The cost of finance, because of the risks involved, is very, very high. So again, what apartment builders are telling us they need is, they need support in terms of site servicing. There's a really good project out there called HISCO that Cork County initiated that should be supported to provide additional site servicing, again, for inner urban apartment developments. The cost of finance finance is too high. Home Building Finance Ireland, which is meant to be providing lower cost finance, is actually charging more than the banks. Again, if somebody's doing in higher density inner urban development, both HISCO and HIBFI should be supported to work with the council and developer to get those apartments built. So my worry here is that those people who have planning permissions who want to build out right now won't benefit in any way from the tax relief. But the folks, for example, like the big developers like Cairn and Glenveagh, who are, you know, able to complete their pipeline, will get additional benefits. Let's focus on supporting builders and developers at the earliest stages of development. Let's reduce delays, let's reduce risk, let's reduce costs. That will allow people to get on site and deliver far more. And again, when I talk to apartment builders, similarly, like when I talk to people who build houses and apartments outside of Dublin, the commuter belt, they're not asking for tax reliefs. They're asking for access to service sites, zoned land, quicker utility connections, lower cost finance, better ways of servicing the sites and more timely decisions on planning. That's where the new policies need to focus. And for the life of me, I just don't understand why the government isn't listening to those people who are calling for those types of actions.
Tom, it strikes, we're not a million miles away from each other here, as in there's a kind of an agreement that there's an issue around viability, particularly apartments in kind of those urban settings, those brownfield sites that are expensive. There's an acceptance of a need for intervention. It's just what kind of what form the intervention takes to make them more viable.
Yeah, but I'd say it's an or. It's not an or. It's an and. So look, it's not saying it's either one or the other. It's look at both. And I think the need to look at both systems, because it's like the deputy's correct in all the various scenarios that the builders are facing, particularly in terms of brownfield development, which, just for the listeners, is development that's happening on land that's already been developed, as opposed to greenfield land, which is in a field somewhere. So that's the difficulty. You've got the National Planning Framework insisting that a certain quantum, like 50% of all development, takes place on brownfield lands. You've got urban planning authorities trying to encourage people, which is the right thing to do, to build at higher densities in urban areas. And this is just a way of making to see if there's some way that it can happen. And if you think back through historically, the IFSC was built because of a tax break. So the first start of the International Financial Services Centre in Docklands was a place that wasn't really attractive to people, and they put in tax breaks for a limited period of time, and it happened. And there's been a lot of examples where it has worked. There was also plenty of examples where it was just unfettered and it happened wherever, and people were just building just to get the tax breaks as opposed to working out where it's needed. But if you could come up with some kind of targeted system of working out where development needs to happen, I think that tax breaks could play a part of that. I'm not saying it's the solution, but it's part of a solution. So it's an and. And in some cases, it may not be appropriate. So for a quick example, under the new Planning Act, you've got the urban development zones where local authorities are encouraged to go and look at areas in which development should happen. And those areas could get, for example, tax breaks to make it more attractive for people to come and develop it. And if more units are built, well, then more you're addressing the housing crisis in a greater way.
Without some level of intervention, is there any hope that the government hit their housing targets or the housing targets?
I think we both agree on that. No, they won't. I mean, you can.
I think the government might even agree with it. That's why they're having this conversation.
Yeah. I mean, post-election, they can agree with it. But like before the election, they were saying it was about 40,000. It was actually 30,000. We should be building 60,000. So we built half what we should be building. And that's an accumulated problem. It's not one that just happened last year. It happens every year. So for every year there's a shortfall, it just adds the bottom line of the number of units.
What are the other barriers on to hitting that target?
Sure. So there are two really big ones. So first of all, on the social and affordable housing side, the government's targets are too low, but also the level of bureaucracy imposed by the Department of Housing and the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform on local authorities and approved housing bodies is just crippling their ability to deliver. So in accordance with the Housing Commission, we should actually be seeing about 20,000 to 25,000 social, affordable rental, affordable purchase units each year. Last year, when we get the final figures, it'll be about 10,000. So there's a big job of work, more money, more targets and real reform of the delivery. That's the first thing. And the second thing, you see, in all the conversation we've had around the build-to-rent sector, we're completely forgetting about the rest of the country. Like, even if rent pressure zones were scrapped tomorrow, which would be a terrible thing for renters, the institutional investors who want to do build-to-rent are really only interested in Dublin, a bit of the commuter belt, maybe the Docklands and Cork. Mm. Well, what about the rest of the country? And the problem in the rest of the country is the small and medium-sized builder developers, often second, third-generation family builders, they were decimated after the crash. They can't get access to finance and they can't build. So we also need to start including the SME builder developer sector into the conversation. And again, it's not an and-or, it's an and. And again, what do they want? They need solutions around financing, around planning, around utility connections and site servicing. The only thing I'll say about tax reliefs is, and look, I'll support anything that fixes the problem, right? I'm not opposed to things for opposition's sake. But first of all, there is already a dizzying array of tax incentives available to certain categories of developers. So institutional investors who are forward funding apartment developments, for example, pay no rent on their or no tax on their rent roll. They pay no capital gains when they sell. They get access to local housing, local infrastructure housing activation fund, Croí Cónaithe Cities, the sustainable tenancies. Like hundreds of millions of euros is already being spent or being foregone in direct subsidies.
But even allowing for that, those things seem to be cooling on this market.
Those things are not working,
aren't they?
And again,
they are cooling a little bit. And part of that, I know, is interest rates in the US where they go up. I mean, a big institutional fund goes just like investing. US government debt.
To fix the problem, we need to understand it. And Tom is right. The central problem with apartment developments is viability. ECB interest rises obviously pushed up the cost of finance. Construction sector inflation and the increasing complexity of costs around higher density in urban developments is a real problem, right? So we have to find the interventions. But what I'm not going to do is support policies which either didn't work in the past or won't work in the present, even the Docklands, because we need to have an honest conversation about that. One of the consequences of that particular model was the displacement of an entire working class community from where they originally lived. That is not the best model for development. Tom is right, stuff got built. There's lots of good quality homes down there. But we also need to learn from the mistakes of that era too, so that when we're building more homes, we're also building the right kind of homes for the right kind of people in the right place at the right price. So I just think there's a better set of solutions. In some cases, we might have to accept that some apartment developments simply aren't going to be viable. But I listen to lots of architects. Tom knows better than me about this, about how, for example, changes to the design of those schemes from, for example, typical kind of apartment types to mid-rise high density or low-rise mid-density. If there was ways of making it easier for people to introduce change of uses to non-viable developments to come up with more viable topologies, I think that would assist as well. But let's focus on the solutions that are going to work.
Yeah.
And let's not be announcing things purely for the sake of announcing things and then have me come on this radio show and Tom in a year's time and go, we told you it wasn't
going
to work.
Well, Tom, just on that issue kind of announcing things, Conor Skeen was on the station earlier and he's not a huge fan of this, but I know I haven't had Conor on this show, that one thing he's always critical of as well is the continual tinkering with the market. That's something as well that stymies development, because there's always an investor who says, well, hold on, is this going to be the prevailing situation? Well, for the months and years ahead, look at how much they fiddle with things.
Yeah, I'd say months rather than years ahead, because the problem in the past with some of the tax breaks is we were brought in, encouraged people to invest, and then they changed the rules halfway through, so people were left with properties they didn't necessarily want. You know, and that led to a big problem. So it has to. You need to get some stability, because a lot of the it's a hard fact that a lot of the money that's used.
But it's like Father Ted's car, isn't it? Tapping it out. I mean, everybody thinks this intervention is the last one. This is the last one we'll need, and then we'll get it right.
Well, you see, I suppose it is. It's a housing crisis. There's always looking at different ways. And if you think about the American discourse about this Overton window, where they look at something that's outrageous to try and get it, and then look at all the steps along the way and see what becomes policy and what's acceptable. So you have to look at all these things in a housing crisis and look at all these things that may not seem palatable today but may work in the long term.
All right. Well, listen, on that note, Tom Phillips, Managing Director of Tom Phillips & Associates, owner Brian, Sinn Féin Housing Spokesperson. Gentlemen, thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.